Before we go into the scripture readings this morning, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, as we gather as your people this Lord's Day, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have entered a new year, a new season in the church. This morning, we will look at familiar words offered in the gospel lessons of Jesus' baptism and the calling of the 12. Lord God, sometimes things are so familiar, we struggle to receive a fresh word from your Spirit. And we pray this morning that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your word holds for us this Lord's Day. In the strong name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I like, and I've done this since I first started preaching, before I read the scripture reference, the passage, I like to offer a little bit of background, just a few tidbits, to kind of get you in the frame of mind to receive the word. So I'm continuing that this morning as I have now returned to authorized lay preacher status. This is not going away. This is a part of who I am. So this morning, before we look at the words from Isaiah 49, 1 through 7, a little bit of background here. We will find a familiar phrase in this passage, a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah's words speak to our future Redeemer, indicating that before the Messiah was born, God's words spoken through the prophet announced that salvation would come. Now, these words were spoken around 550 BCE to offer hope to the exiles. So we go way back in the Old Testament to Isaiah and hear these words. So Isaiah 49, 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." And that's our reading from the prophet. As we look at the gospel lesson, we are in John's gospel this morning, chapter 1, as you'll see, 29 through 42 are our verses. And within this passage, we find, again, reference to Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist also offers us Christ as the sacrificial lamb, the teacher from God referred to in various ways in the New Testament as rabbi, preacher, but known to us as the one who is anointed to save the world. John begins in verse 29 by identifying for us who our Lord is. and indicating that Jesus has already been baptized. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give us a baptism narrative. But John's gospel gives us, or introduces us, directly to the Christ. And then, as the reading continues, we enter the calling of the first disciples. So again, the reading of God's word, John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. The next day, Jesus saw coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk away, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. I think that's supposed to be Jonah. That was my typo. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I said we have entered a new year. We've entered a new church year. January 6th was the epiphany of our Lord. We understand that to be God's revelation of himself as the Christ child. Last Sunday on our calendars for the church year was offered as the baptism of the Lord Sunday. If the Epiphany passages were used on January 4th, these first three Sundays of 2026 have us looking at that baby, that infant that we want to hold in our arms, that infant Christ child. Then, very quickly, looking at our adult Savior. Whiplash. That inner whiplash, because we jump so quickly from the Advent season to the baptism and then moving on, the temptation in the wilderness, and you know what follows. We barely had time to process our Lord's birth, and now we are discussing his baptism and the calling of the first disciples. The historical narrative seems to be flying as fast as this past year of 2025 did. In processing this passage today, I don't know what your expectations are from this reading or of me this morning, but I'm taking a little different path than the one you might expect. I want to unpack some of the titles that are offered in both the words of the prophet and in John's narrative as they point to Jesus as our Redeemer. The prophet Isaiah referred to the one who would be a light to the Gentiles, and that kind of varies a little bit depending on which translation of the Bible you are using. Isaiah points to our Redeemer. When we look at that phrase, light to the Gentiles or light to the world, a key scripture reference is found in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That reference to our Lord appears three times in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, John 8:12, and then John 9:5. And while we all understand we need light, we need the sunlight, we need the daylight, we need light, it nourishes us in so many ways. When we reflect on this title for Jesus, we should come to a deeper understanding or meaning of God's presence among us in Christ. Additionally, according to Jewish tradition, one of the names for Messiah is light. I didn't know that. Messiah was referenced in John's Gospel, verse 41 this morning. Isaiah offered the name or the title of Redeemer. When I think of the title Redeemer, and I'm sure you're with me on this, we're probably on the same page, I do not necessarily think of meeting Jesus face to face. But there's a scripture for that. If we go back to the Old Testament, if we go back to the book of Job, chapter 19, verses 25 through 26, that is exactly what is offered to us. In that reading, we find, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand upon the earth at last. And I know that after this body has decayed, this body shall see God." That is a promise we also find in Revelation 21. The Redeemer has not only saved us from ourselves, but has saved us for something better in eternity. We today, moving into the gospel reading, looking again at verse 29 and what was offered the next day. Now, this chapter, this first chapter of John, if we would look back at previous verses and then go forward to verse 51, it encompasses four consecutive days. During the first 2 days and the beginning of the third day, John the Baptist gives his testimony. On day one, prior to where our reading began, John has declared that he is not the Christ. On day two, he witnesses to Jesus as the Christ. And on day three, people began to believe through John's testimony. And that was verses 35 through 36. As the day progressed, we came to the two disciples of John who began to follow our Savior. And they bring in Simon Peter. In their excitement, they address Jesus with a variety of titles. Each title is in the religious and political category as we think about this time period in history. So the religious and the political category the disciples are comfortable with or have some knowledge of or experience with. And this is where I am today when I said I wanted to look at some of these names or these titles. Going back to verse 29, we are offered by John the phrase, the Lamb of God. A phrase we are familiar with as we view Jesus to be our sacrificial lamb. But what else does that title or phrase offer to us? Especially sacrificial lamb. We today in the 21st century, we lose that imagery. The imagery that phrase would have brought to those hearing John's words. Don't we typically think of cute little lambs? Or perhaps the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. But for those hearing this reference by John the Baptist, as he referred to Jesus, we don't really know where their minds went, but I could offer that they could have been presented with a disturbing picture. We in the 21st century have the words, but the first century population had the experience, the visual, the knowledge of slaughtering the lamb on the altar. They knew what the purpose of a lamb was. Describing Jesus in that way could certainly have shocked the crowd. And the New Testament uses two Greek words for lamb or Lamb of God. And the phrase Lamb of God is found only in John's Gospel. As the reading continues, we are offered Son of God. In verse 34, together the titles Son of God and Son of Man offer us the mystery of the incarnation. The second person of the Trinity came down from heaven and became one of us so we could abide with him in all eternity. A key scripture in support of the title Son of Man is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and these are verses 15 and 16. Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Now, as we went through the reading and following that conversation, Jesus began to tell his disciples all that would and must take place regarding his arrest, crucifixion, and death. This is our beginning as we go slowly into the Lenten season. We know this is the beginning of the journey the church will take over the next 3 months. Another title that comes to us is Rabbi in verse 38 of our reading. From the Greek, Rabbi is an official title of honor. It can also be translated Master. Going back to the Hebrew, it can also be translated as Elder, as I look at one right now. A title that is familiar to our denomination as we think about our session elders and church leadership. We, as the Presbyterian denomination, are familiar with that word. Someone referred to as a rabbi had normally studied under another rabbi for many years, but after preaching in the temple at age 12, Jesus skipped the schooling and went straight for his PhD in theology. One of the underlying reasons the religious leaders were so offended as we get to that piece later on, was that Jesus did not study under another rabbi. The Jews did not believe that, as he was thought to be then, ordinary people were equipped to understand and apply Scripture without the training or guidance of a teacher. This is somewhat simplistic, but Jesus basically hung up his carpenter's hammer and apron and begins to call the disciples. Now I have, and this is another thing I like to do, I have some questions for you. Have you ever noticed how you can say a word over and over and it starts to lose its meaning? Or you can have an object in your home that you see day after day, hopefully it's not your pet, and you forget it's there. Just like how, if we aren't careful, we might sometimes mindlessly say the affirmation of faith or the Lord's Prayer. Today, we looked at the names and titles for our Savior, some of which we might take for granted. They get stuck in the recesses of our mind. They're there, but we need to dust them off occasionally. Images and words that, if we are not careful, might lose the importance of their meaning to us as God's people over time. Every once in a while, it's important for all of us to stop and look closely at these familiar phrases and titles and make sure we are really, really seeing with our spiritual eyes and remembering what these titles mean in our physical eyes. We need to remind ourselves how the grace of God is manifest in the Messiah, Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and all that our Savior does for us on a daily basis. I do encourage you to revisit these readings later this week and perhaps read others that reflect on the names of God or Christ or the Holy Spirit. Spend time thinking about those titles of our Savior that we find in Scripture. Perhaps think about the past year as we have now entered 2026. When was Elohim, our mighty and strong God, guiding your path? When was Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, walking with you in 2025, spiritually, emotionally, or physically? Or perhaps you are very aware of Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, being with you in various situations. And we all know that our nation and our world are in desperate need of Jehovah Shalom. I truly invite you to reflect on the names of God and reflect on how God has worked in your life, your family, even our communities this past year. Be thankful. Be thankful for what God has done and the many ways the Spirit works in all our lives, in our communities, in our churches.